And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch on this snowy Wednesday. And we have Bing Burbiston with us. Bing, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Brian. I'm doing great. I feel blessed to be able to get up here.
But really? Tell me about it.
But I'll just let everyone know there's no more snow coming down at the present. But it looked like between Clarksville and Hopkinsville, there may have been an accumulation of about 2 to 3 inches, at the most 3 inches.
Yeah.
But the roads are slippery.
So yes, they are.
Be very, very careful.
Yes.
If you have to get out, be sure you allow the plows to do their thing and the salt's going down. Mm-hmm. I can tell you one thing. I have to give it up for Kentucky Department of Highways, because when I crossed the state line, it was like, wow, one lane was icy, and then I crossed the line into Kentucky, and both lanes were clear. So, yeah, they're
good.
Doing it. They're doing
That's
it right
good.
There. And
way to go, Kentucky!
I only saw two vehicles off.
Yeah.
And one was a big rig, and the other was a pickup truck turned the opposite direction of the way he was supposed to be going. So he had some slipping and sliding.
Yeah.
Both were accompanied by some police already, so I didn't have to stop. I just said, I'm going to keep going because I've got a program.
Keep on trucking.
More. And Brian will be up here going, what am I going to do?
Where's Bing at?
Yeah.
But I know when we talked yesterday, you said, was talking about snow, and you were talking about being from Wisconsin, right?
I was raised in Wisconsin.
You know all about this and worse.
Yes.
So this is nothing to you, I'm sure.
You know. it's something to everyone who's out there in it today.
Yeah,
and we have to consider praying for those folks who are out there working.
They have to be out in it. Yeah,
working in it right now, because it's not easy. Because a lot of people, as you were mentioning to me just a little while ago, even though you're on a one lane icy road, there are a lot of people that like to go zipping by you.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You have to.
I was flying this morning.
Really, you have to kind of be aware of the people around you, for sure.
But, sure.
But the Lord is good. He gives us snow. He gives us rain. Sometimes
it's
way too much, but He knows it's just right. And we have to trust He knows what He's doing.
Well, you know, Bing, we've had a little bit of everything.
That's right.
We've had a flood.
Yes.
We've had thunder and lightning, and we've had some tornado warnings and stuff that was out the other night. And then after that, the snow.
Yes.
And so we've had a lot of activity going on the past few days.
It keeps coming, doesn't it?
But that's all right.
That's right.
It's going to get pretty one day.
Yeah, so. Before we start, let's pray. Father, we just thank You so much for this day. We pray, Lord, for those who may be affected by the weather, those who will have to be in work in this weather. We pray for those who are clearing the roads and asking, Lord, that You'll protect them.
Yes.
Allow the traffic to move right. Allow people to use common sense while driving this morning. And we just thank You, Father, that You are in control of all things. And I pray, Father, as we get into the letter of Thessalonians this morning, that You will speak and Your Spirit will enunciate and speak clearly what Your word says. I'd like to lift up a friend of mine who just 2 days ago was getting tested to go in for shoulder surgery, and they found a blockage. And then just yesterday, they checked his heart, and he has a 95% blockage of his heart. He's transferred immediately from Tenova to St. Thomas Hospital. And I just pray, Lord, that the staff and the doctors will be able to make it in this morning to do the surgery. There is a danger that it may be delayed because of the weather, and I just pray, Lord, that they can do this and get this this blockage cleared. In Jesus' name I ask, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bing.
If you've tried to listen to the old app for Missionary Radio on your iPhone, you may have noticed it's not there. Missionary Radio now has a new app available for iPhone and Android users. It's quick and easy to download. For iPhone users, go to the App Store and enter the keywords Missionary Radio, and you'll be ready to install it. For Android users, go to Google Play, enter the keywords Missionary Radio, and you'll be set to install it. Once you've installed the new Missionary Radio app, we encourage you to share it with a friend. Invite your church family to download our new app. You will help us promote the station while at the same time share the gospel too. This reminder, the old app is gone, but we have a new app available for Apple and Android users. The keywords are Missionary Radio for the download. Thank you for listening to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio. Online at missionary.radio and your free app.
Sharing hope in Christ 24/7. Missionary Radio.
And once again, good morning. Welcome into Missionary Radio and the front porch on this snowy Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll have to dust those rockers off.
Yeah, dust those rockers off.
They got a bit of snow on them right now.
I don't believe I'm going to sit out there. It's too cold. Now, unless we could build a fire.
Yeah, there we go. Well, I tell you what, we were speaking of the rapture of the church the last time we were together, and I'll just do a brief rehash to introduce us to continuation in what the rapture reveals to us in Scripture. Last week I mentioned that in the Latin Bible, the Greek word harpazo was translated with the Latin word rapio. Mm-hmm. Then much later in the English word for rapio became rapture. Okay. Thus, when believers discuss the rapture of the church, we are using a word that we do not find in the English Bible. This may be the reason that many denominations and many teachers just deny that the rapture will happen. That King James says, caught up.
Okay? Caught up, yeah.
So there are some who say, because of this, we shouldn't teach about the rapture because it's controversial. But whatever you want to call it, it's in the Bible. If you want to call it caught up, harpazo, rapio, or rapture, it is in the Bible, and it's undeniable because it is written in God's Word that it will happen. You know, you'll be caught up one day. That's what the Bible tells us.
Well, you know, thinking about that being, I was talking to somebody back a few weeks ago, and to a friend of mine, and they was talking about a friend of theirs.
Okay.
And they was talking about, you know, why do people call it rapture? Because it's not even in the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, why do people call it rapture if it's not in the Bible? Well, like you just said, it has different words.
There's different words that describe caught up.
That describes caught up, and rapture is one of those. Yeah. So
now, I don't know what other translations would say beside the King James. I've never looked really at that. But I do know the King James uses caught up.
Caught up, yeah.
Okay. So when that happens, and it's undeniable that it will, all of Jesus' sheep will hear his voice as he calls them in the clouds. Mm-hmm. The bride of Christ, the whole bride of Christ residing on this earth, will hear the groom's shout from the clouds. And that's speaking of Jesus also. The body of Christ, you can call us, will be called by its head. That's the chief cornerstone in the air to ever be united with the Lord. And then with that knowledge, with what I just said, 1 Thessalonians 4:18, and that's where we are as we're going verse by verse through this letter, says, wherefore, knowing this is going to happen, comfort one another with these words. That's what Paul's telling the Thessalonica church. Now, why would these words be so comforting? They must be comforting, or he wouldn't have said they were comforting. They can only be comforting, Brian, if the rapture of the church is going to come, if the rapture of the church is certain. So I believe the Bible teaches us that the rapture of the church will end the age of the church that we now live in. The rapture of the church will be the reunion of all believers in God, from the beginning of time in the Old Testament to all the saints who have died and who are still alive on this earth in the New Testament when Jesus comes back in the clouds. The rapture of the church is the Christian's victory over death through Christ. And the rapture of the church is our first step out of these frail, perishable corrupt bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel frail? Do you feel perishable? Do you feel corrupt? You may not feel it, but that's what we are in the flesh.
Yes.
And then we will be changed into our resurrected bodies that will be like Jesus's body.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfect and eternal.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the rapture of the church if that's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So another letter that Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 15:51, Paul is going to explain a little bit more about what I'm speaking of here. He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery that Paul received directly from the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." He's speaking to believers here.
Sure,
now,
sure.
Not the world. He's speaking to believers. And then he goes on to say, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye," that's pretty quick.
Real quick.
"At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." They went to the grave corrupted. That body went to the grave corrupted. "But it will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on," a beautiful word, "immortality."
Mm-hmm.
"So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written," and this is a very familiar saying to Christians today, "death is swallowed up in victory." He goes on to say, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. Sin that began in the Garden of Eden, Brian, and was transferred to all mankind after that rebellion of Adam and Eve. And the strength of the sin is the law that was given to the Jewish people, and their history that is displayed to us in the Bible shows us it's impossible for mankind to keep that law on their own. Thus, the strength of sin holds people in bondage to it whenever they try to live by the law."
Mm-hmm.
That's religion right there. That's defined religion.
Yeah.
And there are many religions of this world,
yep,
who are in bondage to that law of their religion. But Paul goes on to say, "Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ."
Man.
Jesus Christ is the lawbreaker. He
yes.
is the fulfillment of the law.
Yes.
He's the fulfillment of the prophets. And he took care of that curse of death that began in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
He took care of it on the cross.
Amen.
Now, we know from Scripture, the souls of all believers in Jesus Christ who die go immediately to heaven to await the resurrection of their sleeping bodies here on earth. That's explained through Scripture. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:8 tells us, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." That's something to consider as a Christian.
Awesome.
Philippians 1:21 through 23 says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is," not terrible. He says, "and to die is gain."
Gain, yeah.
It's gain because we will be with him.
Try.
"But yeah. if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt the two," this is Paul speaking here, "having a desire to depart," now that's leaving this earth, leaving the flesh.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to say, "and to be with Christ, which is far better."
Yeah.
So, you know, death, where is your victory?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it?
Yeah.
There is no victory because Jesus has claimed the victory over
yes.
death.
Amen.
Now, as we said before, all that makes us a complete, living, breathing human being while we're alive on this earth is our body and our soul and our spirit. When Paul prayed for the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he prayed this, These are his words, and we'll get there when we get into those verses. He says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul was praying for complete sanctification to take place in all believers,
yes,
before Christ's return to call all believers unto him. If we are about that business, if we are compliant to the yielding of the Spirit, if we try to get on board with the sanctification process, Brian, less wood, hay, and stubble will be burned at the judgment seat of Christ, and more gold and silver and precious stone will remain.
Yes.
So here's a question. Is the soul and the spirit separate, or is it the same? And I'm going to say one more statement, then we'll go to the pen from the heart, and we'll explain it when we get back. They are separate. According to Paul's prayer in 1 Thessalonians, which I just read, some people will say they're the same, but even though they are very closely linked, there's a difference. And now, what are we going to?
Penned from the heart.
All right.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, "I enjoy listening to the music and great speakers each day. Thank you for your work." From Dixon, Tennessee, "Thank you for your faithfulness to God through Missionary Radio." From Springfield, "Thank you for your service to His kingdom." Also from Clarksville, "Missionary Radio, thank you for being here when we need you."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
The world needs King Jesus. Missionary Radio.
Of course, Ming Verb is in with us on this Wednesday.
Yes, yes. Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Feel blessed to be here.
With the snow, you know. I was gonna mess around with you.
I
was gonna say here's Bing. He's come in, he's got his husky dogs and his sled. Yeah. So
it was kind of that feeling as we were coming up there. Yeah. Stay in the tracks. Don't get off the tracks.
Stay in the tracks. Yeah.
Well, anyway, we left off at the break and the question is the soul and the spirit separate or is it the same? So let's look at Hebrews 4:12. It tells us, it gives us some information. Speaking of the Word of God, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, is what it tells us.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, it can pierce even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, mm-hmm, and of the joints and marrow,
mm-hmm,
and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So, as closely as joints and marrow are linked together in our body, and as closely as the thoughts and intents of our heart are knitted together in our mind, the soul and the spirit are linked, mm-hmm, while we are alive on this earth. But they're separate. Question: when we die physically on this earth, what happens to our bodies? It returns to the dust.
To the dust.
That's what God said it was going to do way back in Genesis.
Yes.
Okay. Our bodies are buried or done away with somehow. A lot of times today, people are cremated and their,
yes,
ashes, mm-hmm, are buried or spread wherever they feel they need to be. So, in other words, our bodies return to the dust from which they came.
Yes.
Is this true for all men and women, or is it difference between believers and non-believers? Well, Brian, It's true for all men and women. Anyone who is ever born upon this earth or whoever will be in the future will one day die, and their bodies will return to the earth. It's written. God said it. It will be done. What happens to a person's spirit when he dies physically on this earth? Okay. Well, Ecclesiastes gives us some information about that. If we look at Ecclesiastes 3, 20 through 21, it tells us what happens. It says, all go unto one place, all are the dust. Okay, that's speaking of humans, mankind, speaking of anyone born of Adam. And all turn to dust again, what we just covered about the body, speaking of the physical body. But the verse continues with this, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward? Now, we can conclude from this verse, when man or women, mankind, die physically on this earth, our body returns to the dust from which it came, but our spirit, the spirit of every man and woman ever born, that spirit that God gave us, which gives our bodies life, goes upward, okay? Mm-hmm. And if so, our spirit goes upward to who? Well, Ecclesiastes 12:7 tells us further. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, again, speaking of our physical body, but that at the point of death, the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. That's what Ecclesiastes 12:7 says. So indeed, our spirit does go upward, and not only upward aimlessly, but returns back to God who gave it to us in the first place. God gave the spirit of life to all of mankind, which gives all of mankind's physical bodies life here on earth as we know it. No man or woman who has ever lived on this earth, no scientist, physician, or any man of higher learning will ever be able to answer the following question. And that question is, and it probably occurs to everyone who's ever been alive on this earth, where does life come from? Where's the origin of life? Well, mankind cannot answer this question. They make attempts at it, but they cannot answer this question without including our God in the equation, because he gave us the spirit of life. Yes. Now, we'll kind of delve into that and dissect that. As Genesis 2:7 tells us, only God can form man out of the dust of the ground.
Yes.
Only God can breathe into that dust and give the breath of life, okay, the spirit which makes this dust of earth alive. And then as Genesis 2:7 ends with, and that man, that dust made alive with that spirit that God breathed into it, became a living soul. So there you have it, body, soul, and spirit. The soul that will exist forever, a soul that will experience eternal life, or a soul that will experience eternal death.
Yes.
But that soul, from our conception, will exist, will never not exist.
Yeah.
It's going to exist forever
somewhere.
When our body dies, according to Ecclesiastes 12:7, the spirit of all mankind returned unto God who gave it. Now, what happens to a person's soul after he dies physically upon this earth? Well, knowing that our physical bodies are perishable and corrupt and will never leave this earth from which it came, from dust thou art to dust thou wilt return, and knowing that the spirit of life returns to God who gave it, we were told that in Ecclesiastes, there's only one thing that makes us a complete living, breathing human being while alive on this earth, and it will always remain with us, and it will always be our identity, and will exist forever with us because it is us even after this earth is gone, and that's speaking of our soul. If we are spiritually born again, Brian, then we'll be a part of the rapture that we were just talking about earlier when Jesus comes back, according to what Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians. Whether we are alive on this earth when he comes back or whether we have already returned to the dust of the earth, we will be a part of that rapture. That's tremendous good news.
Yes, it is.
That's something that we should right on the refrigerator and look at it every morning, one day we will be raptured with the Lord, and we will never not be out of his presence.
Right.
Now, look at 1 Thessalonians 4 at the end of verse 16, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, he goes on to say, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and the best part of this verse, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Okay. Amen.
We will never not be in his presence after we are united with him in our resurrected bodies in the clouds above this earth. So, if we as born-again believers in Christ are part of the rapture of the church, and after we meet Jesus in the clouds, verse 17 tells us, so shall we ever be with the Lord. This information answers the question, what happens to a person's soul after he dies physically upon this earth? Or partially answers it. If we are spiritually born again, what happens to a saved person's soul after his time on this earth is finished? Well, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says his soul shall ever be with the Lord. His soul will be in paradise. That's where the Lord is. He's at the right hand of God the Father.
Amen.
And they're in paradise.
Amen.
Or I like to say more distinctly, it is the city of New Jerusalem. That's where God's throne room is, in the very center of the New Jerusalem. And when Jesus returns in the air above this earth to receive all believers who are alive and remain, the Bible tells us these souls will come back with him and be reunited with their resurrected bodies, which will be resurrected in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Then we will receive bodies of incorruption, and we will receive bodies of immortality. Our souls will receive a brand new body to exist throughout all eternity. Amen and amen. Our new bodies will be perfect according to what Romans 6:5 tells us. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, is what Romans 6:5 tells us. Jesus was the first fruit. We will be the fruits that will follow, and we will live forever with him who made all of it possible. Verse 18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Are these words comforting to you, Brian?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Is it comforting to know what is going to happen to us when our physical body dies on this earth? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And when I speak to people who are terminally ill or don't know exactly the state of where they're going to be in the next few weeks.
Sure.
You just need to remind them of this. As believers in Jesus Christ, you can be comforted by the fact that Jesus is going to be there. He's going to escort you into paradise, and you'll be in his likeness forever.
Amen.
And ever and ever.
Amen.
So this would be a good time for us to hear some more good news from a very good friend of ours.
That's right, Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope.
This is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope. Listen in as Johnny talks about our very real need for an advocate.
I was talking to someone just yesterday about my very best advocate, my husband, Ken. Earlier this month was World Cancer Day. And as I was recounting my battle against stage 3 cancer some years ago, I mentioned how key, how critical it is to really have a strong advocate when you're sitting in an exam room with an oncologist. And Ken was there, taking notes, asking questions, especially when I was too tired to even think for myself. For sure, to be an advocate is to be a true friend. And the Bible speaks about advocates this way. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, we have an advocate who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. You know, from here we can see that an advocate is a person who pleads for another's cause. But Jesus, our advocate, adds a twist. He pleads his own cause, but he does so to our advantage. For instance, I want you to picture a throne room with the devil, you know, standing up there before God reading a list of charges against you. He's got a whole pile of lists, and he goes through line by line, the devil throwing you an accusing glance and sneering, look at this, God, this person doesn't even deserve to stand before you. I mean, just look at all the things he's done, the thoughts he's coddled, the people he's hurt, and he has the nerve to call himself a follower of Jesus? Oh, come on, this wretch deserves to die. He says he's a Christian, but his life stinks. He claims to know your son, but you'd never be able to tell from the way he acts. Now, picture Jesus stepping forward as your advocate. He speaks confidently and with authority, and he says, no, this person is mine. And none of these accusations are a surprise to me. None of these allegations catch me off guard. I know them all because I died for every single sin he ever committed. Now, that would be enough. But then Christ adds an amazing announcement when he says, what's more, I've not only erased his debt, but I want you, Father, I want you to credit to his account all of my righteousness. Is that amazing or what? I mean, right there, Jesus not only advocates for you, but he pleads his own cause because Jesus knows that his cause benefits you. He doesn't do it for himself, but he does it for you. Jesus, our advocate, would be generous enough in canceling the debt of our sin on the cross. But don't you love it that he goes further? He not only paid the penalty and cleared sin's slate, but he gave you and me right standing. He gave us his goodness. When the Father looks at you, he sees all the good things his Son has ever done. Now, wait a minute, let me say that again. When God the Father looks at you, he sees all the good things his Son has ever done. Oh my goodness, such a debt we can never repay. We can only praise. We dare not boast in ourselves. No, we boast in the Lord. It's like Job when he said, quote, even now my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend. As my eyes pour out my tears to God, on behalf of a man, he pleads with God as a man pleads for his friend. There you got it. Jesus is your advocate. Jesus is your friend. It's just another reason, and perhaps the best reason, to live for the praise of your Savior today.
Please visit johnnyradio.org today, where you'll find a treasure trove of Johnny's timeless wisdom. It's free, and it's all waiting for you at johnnyradio.org.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Moses had the incredible privilege of speaking with the Lord face to face on Mount Sinai. In those days, God spoke through priests and prophets, but Moses was an exception. God called him into his presence and spoke with him as a friend. Whenever Moses would meet with the Lord, his face would shine with the Lord's glory when he emerged from the tent. This frightened the Israelites, so Moses would put a veil over his face until the glory faded. In Christ, God's presence is not only with us, but also in us through his Spirit. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It's such a wonderful opportunity for them to be able to turn on the radio and listen to things that build them up, that lift them up.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
All right. Well, Brian, did you know that one day in the future, everyone who ever lived on this earth and died on this earth will be resurrected? Did you know that?
Yeah.
Everyone.
Oh, yeah.
In John 5, 28 through 29, from our Savior Jesus Christ, he says this, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life,
mm-hmm.
and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So we are going to exist forever.
Somewhere.
After our conception.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
The resurrection of damnation, if you read your Bible, you will see it occurs after the thousand-year reign of Christ on this earth. It occurs after Satan is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where he will be forever and ever. The second resurrection of damnation occurs immediately before what the Bible calls second death. Okay? The people who do not believe in Jesus Christ will die physically upon this earth, and then they'll be resurrected to experience the spiritual death.
Yes.
Okay. Now think about this. If you don't experience the second birth, being reborn during your lifetime here on earth, you will experience the second death one day in the future.
That's right.
That's what the Bible's telling us. Now, let's look at Revelation, starting in Revelation 20:11. And this is John, the beloved apostle of Jesus Christ, on the Isle of Patmos. And he saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, John saying, I saw the dead, the spiritually dead, those who wouldn't believe the words of God concerning the Son, Jesus Christ, while they are alive on this earth, or those who didn't believe anything that God had to say as he revealed himself in creation. And it goes on to tell us, great and small stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. You have to be a believer in Jesus Christ or a believer in God to be in that book of life. And then it goes on to say, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. That's the damnation part right there. They were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The book of life is concerning the work of Jesus Christ. What was written in the books was concerning their works.
That's right.
The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. The second resurrection, that's what we're talking about. And they were judged, every man according to their works, not Jesus' works, but their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And it goes on to say this is the second death. The first resurrection was a resurrection of life. Those who are part of it will always be in the presence of the Lord, Brian. Mm-hmm. The second resurrection is the resurrection of death or damnation, and those who are part of it will be eternally separated from God. The time to achieve or the time to set your goal on where you're going to be after you pass from this earth is now.
That's right.
This brief little span of time that we're in is a time to get right with the Lord. Believe what He tells you. Believe on His Son. You look back into the history. It's undeniable. There was a cross on the hill of Calvary. Jesus was nailed to that cross, put in the grave. But the good news is He arose.
He arose.
He was resurrected. Amen. And all who believe in Him will likewise experience the resurrection.
That's right.
That's why Revelation 26 says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power.
Mm-hmm.
So the people which stand before what the Bible calls the great white throne judgment of God will also receive resurrected bodies in which they will experience eternity and the second death. Now, their bodies are not going to be made in the image of Jesus. Their bodies are going to be very far from glorious in any kind of way. In fact, their bodies may be very similar to the bodies that we have today. The Bible describes it as fleshly, as corruptible, as frail. They will hunger and thirst. The Gospels tell us that. They will feel pain and torment. That's revealed to us by Jesus when he was explaining the gnashing of teeth where the worms dieth not.
That's right.
They will suffer greatly, and there will be no end to that suffering. Why? Well, because these souls will be forever separated from their Creator.
That's right.
And thus from their Savior.
That's right.
Some of the scariest words in Scripture describe what these people will experience throughout all eternity. And we'll turn to Mark 9:42, where it tells us this. I want you to listen to this. If you are not certain where you are going when you depart from this earth, it says, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone was hanged about his neck and he was cast into the sea.
Yes.
It would be better for him to do that. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands and go to hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched.
That's right.
And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet and be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Three times Jesus said that, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's terrible.
Absolutely.
This is the worst thing that you would want to go to for all of eternity.
Yeah.
These words of Jesus describe what the second death could very well be like, never-ending pain and never-ending torment. Now, Jesus is not suggesting we cut off our physical hands or feet or pluck out our physical eyes, but he's suggesting we definitely keep them under control. And we can't do that on our own.
That's
it's
right.
So easy for us to have our eyes wandering, our hands doing things they shouldn't be doing, or
right.
walking in places that we shouldn't walk. We can't do this on our own.
Nope.
We have to yield to the Spirit of God
who will. That's right.
Absolutely. Certainly lead us into the paths of righteousness instead of the paths of sin and corruption. So how do we keep everything that is physical about us under control? The answer is yielding to the Spirit and resisting the natural inclinations of the flesh, which brings us back to this beautiful prayer for the church at Thessalonica that we've already referenced once in this program, found in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where Paul is praying this for them. He's praying it for us, and I'm sure he is praying it for himself. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That should be our focus, Brian, day by day, minute by minute.
Absolutely.
We should do all that we can do to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So we will be found in that blameless, preserved way when Jesus returns.
So don't waste a second.
You don't, no.
to not give your life to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know, I hear people say so many times, well, I'm just not ready yet. I've got some more living to do. Or I'm not good enough. Let me tell you something. You are good enough. And all you have to do is, you know, giving your life to Jesus is very, very simple. It's nothing that you have to be elaborate about.
Yeah.
Very simple to give your life to Jesus.
Yes. No one's ready.
No.
Really, no one's ready. But the Spirit of God is there, and he's willing to come into your life. All you have to do is just make an effort to see what the Bible tells us about our existence on this earth. And people who say, I'm not good enough, well, that is so true. No one is good enough.
No
one is good enough. We all are sinners. We all are sick. We all need a physician. We all need to be healed. We all need to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We know born-again believers in Jesus are new creatures, spiritually, joined with the sinless Son of God. Therefore, our soul, our spirit are completely sanctified and made new. And in a realm that we cannot see, they are made clean and sinless.
Amen.
Well, Brian, I'm so glad that I trekked through the snow to get here.
Amen.
It's good being with you this morning.
It's good having you here.
Father, we thank you so much for our time together. I do pray that people will be safe today.
Yes.
Not get out if they don't have to. And if they do, I pray, Lord, that your angels will cover them and protect them on every side, front, back, right, and left. Let people travel safely today. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.